just about 5,000 years ago, there was a man who was a city administrator and first minister of his city. This was in Egypt during its fifth dynasty. And his name was Tahotep. And as far as we can tell, Tahotep wrote the first ever book. First book ever, 5,000 years ago. And it was called The Maxims of Tahotep, in which he wrote down his advice to people, his wisdom. And here's an excerpt from The Maxims of Tahotep from 5,000 years ago, quite possibly the first book ever. Do not let your heart become proud because of what you know. Learn from the ignorant as well as the learned man. There are no limits that have been decreed for art. There is no artist who attains entire excellence. A lovely thought is harder to come by than a jewel. One can find it in the hand of a maid at the grindstone. Beautiful, beautiful piece of text. And the reason that I mention it is because Tahotep understood himself as having communicated wisdom from the goddess Maat. And Maat was whom the Egyptians credited with creating the earth and all of its creatures and human beings and the stars and the heavens, etc., etc. So that from the very beginning of the idea of wisdom literature, there was a connection between wisdom and how the world was made. Now, roughly 2,000 years later, in ancient Israel, the Israelites started to write down wisdom literature. And that wisdom literature that they wrote down was understood as coming from Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom they conceived of as the creative words that came out of God's mouth. So God says, let there be light. And the words, let there be light, that come out of the divine mouth are Lady Wisdom. And she makes what God commands. So she makes the light. Again, the idea being that wisdom has something to do, some connection to how the world is made and to God who makes the world. Some 500 years later, the writer of the Gospel according to John does the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. In that beautiful poem right at the beginning of John's Gospel, the image is again of Christ as God's creative Word, so that it's Christ, John envisions, who comes out of God's mouth as the creative Word and makes the world that God commands. So again, wisdom has something to do with God and how God made the world. The idea is that by living according to wisdom, you live in accordance with the way things are and ought to be. Wisdom works, it's practical, because it's connected to how the world was made. And what's significant about this, especially when Jesus offers some wisdom, like he does in today's gospel, is that we Christians believe that Jesus came as God in the flesh so that we could see and interact with God and learn who God really is. So it fits right in with the idea of wisdom. So in Luke, the Pharisees and Jesus, the Pharisees are very intrigued by Jesus. They're curious and a little nervous about him. And so in Luke's gospel, they invite him to dinner frequently. They invite him to dinner frequently. They give him that honor. They invite him to come to Sabbath dinner in this reading today. And at Sabbath dinner, you invite people whom you respect as a teacher, and they come and you have dinner together, and there's teaching that happens around the dinner table. One of the things that we often forget because of some of the criticism of Jews and anti-Semitism in the biblical text is that in Luke, the Pharisees really treat Jesus pretty respectfully. So they've invited him to Sabbath dinner. They've invited him to do a little teaching. And he observes their behavior and he gives a piece of wisdom. And he says, you know, don't race to the highest seat. Sit lower and let the host come and say, hey, friend, come up higher. Come sit over here. It's practical advice. It makes sense. Don't sit up at the head of the table and then get told, could you please sit over there? I'm inviting so-and-so to sit here. Well, that's embarrassing. Okay? So it's practical advice, but it's practical wisdom, which is always connected to who God is and how God made the world, and it's coming from Jesus, who shows us the Father, whose job is to show us who God is. So when Jesus gives this wisdom, this practical advice, he's not only giving practical advice, he's saying this has something to do with who God is. God doesn't assert God's authority. God will come and take the lower place and wait for you to invite God higher. God will come and take the lower place. Why, in the Jeremiah reading, could the people wander from God and make their own cracked cisterns, is the beautiful image that Jeremiah uses. Why could they do that? They could do that because God didn't force them to worship God alone. And so they go off and do other things, and that doesn't work out well because those other things are not the way, in accordance with the way the world was made. And then God pursues them and draws them back, forgives them, and invites them back, brings them back all the time. God takes away from God's own authority to be inviting, to be forgiving, to be welcoming. God locates God's authority in the lower place. And God invites us to be the host who welcomes God into our heart and says to God, friend, come up higher. It's a description not only of practical life skills, but of who God is. Jesus comes to show us the Father, and he comes into our own life, into a poor family in Israel, in the Middle East, of all places. Not in the center of Rome, the center of power, but in Bethlehem. And he takes on a full human life. He takes on our joys and our life and our living, and he takes on our sorrow and our pain and our death. Rather than staying God above it all. God takes the lower place. And so Jesus, because he always does this, he'll give a teaching, and just about the time I think I've got my brain wrapped around that teaching, then he'll take it a step further, right? He always goes a little deeper, a little radical. Radex means root. It's where the word radical comes from. He always goes to the root of the matter. And so he does that, and he says, "Host, you know, if you invite those who need a meal and can't repay you, God will bring you up higher in the age of the resurrection. If you do meal the way God does things, you'll find that that pays off in the end, even though it doesn't look like it now. Because that's what God would do. Welcome those who can't repay, because God takes the lower seat." So what the reading sets up for us is this, almost like a mirror, facing a mirror, there are these reflections that go back and forth between humility and host, humility and host. And we're invited to be the host of God and invite God higher in our hearts. And God comes and creates a world for us. But then instead of just being the host, God takes the lower place so we can take the higher place. And we're invited as hosts to take the lower place by not inviting people that can repay us, but by inviting people who need food and need care. And God, as host of the world, will invite us higher for doing so. It goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Humility and host, humility and host, humility and host. It's a powerful dynamic that's being set out. That not only is telling us, take the lower seat, but it's also telling us that we have the authority to take the lower seat. And we have the authority to say to those who are downtrodden, "Friend, come up higher." We have the call to do that. And that when we do that, we're imitating God. And if you're going to imitate someone, that's the one to imitate. Right? The challenge in this text is precisely that. Give ourselves over to that ever-moving dynamic reflection between humility and host. And to go out into the world as humble people who are the kind of hosts that give it all away like God does.